bracelets are scanned.
America, my name's Kate Delaney. This show is America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend, but reality now is sinking in, isn't it? Do you have the Sunday night, Monday, early morning blues? Are you trying to count sheep because you have to get up and go to work in the morning? Or maybe you're like the rest of us and you're one of the 26 million third shifters now in America. It's probably even higher number than that. So you're wide awake. You're cruising home from your job. You're happy as can be because you're going to eat a couple of flapjacks. You're listening to me right now. You're going to pull in your driveway, watch a little tube a little bit later, fall asleep, and all is right with the world. You just have to have some really good shutters or drapes so you can create that dark sensation. I don't know about the rest of you, but when you have the hours where you sleep during the day, you need that darkness so that you can get the kind of sleep that when you wake up, you actually feel refreshed. Let's face it, half of us are vampires because we sleep in those odd off hours. Speaking of vampires, wow, some people think the Tea Party has a lot of vampires in it. But I think the Tea Party actually was started because of the opposite reason, that the people who were, like many of us, disgruntled at what they were seeing going on in Washington decided they wanted to take out the vampires of a different sort and change the way we do business in the Capitol. But will it happen? Do some of these candidates that claim to be embracing the so-called Tea Party ideas, are they going to get elected? See, the thing here is, I think there's too much being put on the whole Tea Party deal in the first place. The Tea Party is just about a grassroots effort to rally, to hold these events where people come out and say that they're tired of being overtaxed, they're tired of the deficit spiraling out of control the way it is, or whatever. And that's more what it is. It's really that whole grassroots thing. It's not going to become a party unto its own. It's an arm of what would be called the Republican Party, more conservative in that vein than a lot of the Republicans are now, who would probably call themselves a little bit more moderate. So does this rise of the so-called Tea Party actually help some Republicans out there and help some Democrats? One of those people who's tired of being part of what she calls a witch hunt is Lisa Murkowski. And we saw what happened to her in Alaska. So she decided to go the way of the write-in vote in her bid to stay as a senator for that state. Listen to what she had to say on one of the Sunday shows.
Well, let me tell you, Jim DeMint or the Tea Party Express coming out of California, far be it for them to determine whether or not the senator representing the people of Alaska is conservative enough for them. What I'm trying to do is represent the people of my state. So, you know, maybe from Jim DeMint's perspective, you know, I'm not conservative enough for him. But the question is, do I represent the values of the people of the state that I represent? Do I stand for what they value? And that's what we're doing here. That's what this writing campaign is all about. It's giving the people of Alaska an opportunity to weigh in and to have a choice in an election where you had Joe Miller with 11.9% of the electorate and a Democrat that took 3.4% of the electorate. And where is everybody else in the middle? And this is something that I hope Alaskans get engaged in and they say, wait a minute, we want to have a voice in this electoral process. That's kind of our constitutional right here. So, you know, Jim can say what he's going to say. That's fine. I'm going to listen to what the people of Alaska have to say and who they feel best represents the future of our state and the values of our state. This is about Alaska.
All right, so she's trying to focus it on Alaska. When she's talking about Senator Jim DeMint, DeMint really embraces the whole idea of the Tea Party. In fact, he was part of the Values Voter Summit in Washington. He was one of the speakers there. And he said, look around, and this is what's happening. You're seeing double digits. You're seeing that people are right there in the mainstream of where America wants us to be, or these people wouldn't be in a position where they're almost getting elected, where they're winning these primaries. And DeMint says Majority Leader Harry Reid is a guy who has to go because look at how he's dreaming up things like the DREAM Act to a military authorization bill as kind of a ploy. In other words, a political ploy. I've talked about the DREAM Act before, and Harry Reid says it's a path to amnesty for illegal immigrants, and that's going to come up on the floor. And so the summit started on Thursday. The DeMint was part of it. Ended on Sunday morning. They've done it maybe five times, and it's conservative activists and politicians and whatnot. And he was one of the main speakers, and he absolutely says that, you know, our country is suited to Tea Party candidates, and he thinks grassroots conservatism is what the country needs because of how far we've gone in a different direction. It's interesting because the former president, Bill Clinton, as he tries to stump for some Democrats out there, is saying, look, Democrats that are in these November midterm elections in the U.S. have to win back the disaffected voters who supported the party back in 2006 and 2008. Otherwise, they're not going to keep control of Congress. They got to shake the voters out of their apathy, then we'll be okay. So the former president is saying Democrats are apathetic. So that's why you're seeing, I think, the fires burning with people who feel like they're not represented. And especially you look at the big blows to Murkowski's one of them as a Republican incumbent in Alaska, now doing the write-in thing. In Delaware, Christine O'Donnell, that's huge. But what does it mean in the general election? How far do they go? And then you see Karl Rove, who's kind of the thorn in the side of this whole thing still, as he appears regularly on Fox. And he's saying that, you know, this is kind of a signal that Republican party leaders need to carefully consider their strategy for winning in November, because there are serious questions that have been raised about her background, her character. This is O'Donnell from Delaware. Statements and previous things that she's done. So pretty much talking about, is she electable or not? Now, for the one Tea Party candidate that we're mentioning, O'Donnell, she canceled her chance to be on national television on Face the Nation and Fox News Sunday. And the reason why is, at least her spokeswoman said, that she had scheduling conflicts, including church events and a campaign picnic, and she didn't want to cancel it. All right, 800-259-5791. The claws come out against the Tea Party. Hang with us.
So you got your emergency food, water, guns, and ammo, right? What about your paperwork? Your medical and insurance records, legal documents, emergency plans? Keeping and knowing where those vital papers are can really prepare you. That's why you need Prepared Binder, an emergency binder designed to keep all your important documents in one safe place. See Prepared Binder at PreparedBinder.com or call 480-284-1826. Prepared Binder, organized peace of mind.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code radio to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Buy the case or buy the pallet. Sapaco SurePak MREs are the most well-balanced, great-tasting meals ready to eat available at MyersCustomSupply.com. Sapaco SurePak MREs are great for any situation. Come with or without flameless ration heaters, are easy to transport, and easy to store with a 3 to 5 year shelf life. And you can buy just a case or an entire pallet. Either way, Sapaco SurePak MREs are ready to eat hot or cold. Experience superior customer service from the number one Sapaco supplier that's been in business since 1997. When you order your Sapaco SurePak MREs from MyersCustomSupply.com, get fast free shipping and 5% off your total order by using promo code GCN5 at checkout. Call 1-800-451-6105 or visit MyersCustomSupply.com. That's M-E-Y-E-R-S CustomSupply.com or call 800-451-6105. For the lowest prices on the internet, visit MyersCustomSupply.com.
A side note here. How about the fact that you have Lisa Murkowski, who you just heard, fighting for her gig to try to get it back in Alaska, and Christine O'Donnell also all over the news. You can't walk by a newsstand and not see her picture somewhere. You know, you've got two of the most Spartan populated areas that are dominating the news picture, but it's the Tea Party. And then the questions start to come out, who's funding the Tea Party? Where did the Tea Party come from? We've already discussed this if you were listening to one of our previous hours, because I got a note here from Chris D, who says, hey, where did the Tea Party start? And it, well, we could answer that question and go all the way back in history, but this movement came out of, with loose organization, it came out of embracing a couple of different things. And the fact that there were rallies that you follow the money, and there were rallies, and people started to get sick of hearing the same old thing. It's genuinely, I've said this before, a mix, from what I can tell, a mix of self-motivated people that just want to let their voices get heard. And then now there are some people that are kicking in some do-re-mi from lobbying groups and a couple of others too that are doing that. But you know, we've had some of the folks on who organized the rallies, the Institute for Liberty. They organized one of the very first, I think the first rally that ever was called the Tea Party, you know, rally. And you got to think of this, as much as somebody wants to stamp the crazy on the Tea Party, hey, we want to be able to criticize our government, don't we? We want to be able to criticize the policies. We want to be represented. So I say bravo to anyone who comes out of the woodwork and does it, whether I agree with them or don't agree with them or, you know, whatever. And I believe that this noise is going to get a whole lot bigger should some people get elected in the next 6.5 weeks. And there may be some surprises, you know, maybe not. The question is producing. If the Republican Party comes up big and people who were supported by this Tea Party movement, then the influence becomes part of the political narrative and can't be denied. There's no question about that. There's an answer to the question. Something that is very real to the people in Bermuda and could be real to the people in the East Coast pretty soon is this noise. Let's take a listen to this. This is Igor. Hear that wind? Oh, you're pretty much listening to a Cat 1 there. So those kind of winds and that noise that you hear, that will tear trees out, and that'll maybe flip some power lines over, and it could hit you pretty hard, actually. And the eye of this sucker gets up to like 75 miles an hour. So you had a lot of restaurants boarded up, churches, nobody was going to them. In fact, here's somebody who's a local talking about what it was like in Bermuda.
Most of the guests left the hotel prior to the arrival of the hurricane over the past few days, but we have about 20 rooms occupied, and those guests are currently sitting in our lounge enjoying some cocktails. They're washing up, hitting the beachfront. Normally they would be 30, 40 yards farther back, probably 10, 12-foot waves coming in right now right at the beachfront. We've got some pretty heavy winds and gusts and a lot of rain coming by at the moment, but not hurricane level yet. It's tropical storm at the moment. We're pleased that it's not a Category 3 like it might have been. It's down to a Category 1, and if it keeps deteriorating, we should be able to escape this without too much serious damage.
Yeah, here's what happens. You become like a kid, kind of like a rubbernecker. He's talking about the people that are watching what's going on, and then people start to venture out. They want to gawk to see what's happened and where the boats are. They get closer and closer. They had flooding in some of the downtown areas, and that means people get in boats and all that kind of stuff. And there's no way that you could get out of there now at this point, Sunday, Monday. But before it completely hit in Bermuda, people were able to get on planes and get out of there and change their dates because Igor was coming, bearing down on Bermuda. That's a place where a lot of people honeymoon. That's a place where a lot of people live, too. So the eye passed about 40 miles west of Bermuda before midnight, but the near miss was still a problem because of the winds you could kind of hear in there mixed with all of that rain coming down. When you're talking about 75 miles an hour, even just a little less than that, it's still pretty wicked stuff. That means power lines, baby. I don't have to tell any of you that have been through that they go down. The question is for us, though, does it hit the U.S. at all? And that would be the eastern seaboard, and it's looking like it's going to cause a lot of high surf problems. Those rip currents will happen, too, along the east coast. Anything deeper than that, maybe not. I mean, the forecast shows that it could just skirt by, but probably nail the East Coast a little bit as far as the waves and the tides anyway. For the people that are listening to me in the East Coast and Connecticut, a lot of you venture into the New York area, and certainly the rest of us know New York is our biggest city, and you've got a lot of buildings and a lot of people that live on top of each other in the boroughs and stuff. Now, imagine if you got those kind of winds in New York in one of the boroughs. Well, they had a brutal storm that came in on Friday. I mean, just slammed into Brooklyn and Queens. They had two tornadoes. What's up with the tornadoes? There, you're talking about 125-mile-an-hour winds. And I looked at some of the pictures, and this is radio, so I'm going to paint you this picture. Just think of a roof peeled away like a pop top off of a can, just peeled back. Street signs flying in the air and then landing into the cement. Storefront windows blown out and tree trunks snapped in half. And cars that have crushed roofs and whatnot. It had to be pretty scary. What's really surprising is only one person died in that. So the tornadoes were the 9th and 10th to hit New York City since 1950. It's got to be a rare feat, but that amount of wind, it could really wreak havoc in that kind of a city. Because now you're not even talking about the possibility of, okay, it's open plains area. I mean, there, pretty much anywhere a tornado would go, it's going to hit something. It's going to crush things. It's going to send power lines down because there's too many people and it's all too close. There's really no way around that. And what, you know what that's called? I guarantee someone's finishing my sentence out there. Of the millions of you listening, that you're probably finishing it, right? A macro burst is that gust of wind that pours down from the middle of a storm. And so most of that damage, I think, was probably because of that burst. And it's lucky it wasn't worse in New York. It happened, some of it happened during rush hour. Whew. So that would really catch you off guard. And then you're talking about a lot of cars. And it's unbelievable to me that you only had one person killed in this. I mean, that's a miracle in itself that more people were not hurt in it. All right, as typical of this show, we kind of zig and zag all over the place. So we got into the weather thing because of Igor. We were talking about the Tea Party because it's dominating certainly many people's thoughts, including all of ours, as we know so many of us are sick of what's happening in Washington, which spawned a different kind of tornado in a movement that's now actually got some legs, but does it go anywhere? Well, we won't really know the answer to that question until we see what happens in November. There were some big shockers in the primary. How far does it go? Does it go further than the primaries? Do the people who shocked the incumbent types, do they go on to actually win and represent? And that would be huge for that movement. It would be huge for a big winds of change, I think, in America. But there are some questioning whether it's the right change. Do you really want people in office who don't know what's going on when it comes to the Beltway and the politics there? I say we definitely want some fresh voices because the people that are there in the Beltway are getting the job done. What say you? Hey, we're going to do We Can Count next.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
10 years.
Genesis.
A decade of talk.
Genesis.
Great talk radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
Just what emergencies do I need to be prepared for?
Terrorism, economic collapse, or the overdue big quake?
The immediate time frame after any disaster when you may be on your own is critical. That's why you need a 72-hour kit from SurvivalSolutions.com. Our 72-hour kits have been researched, tried, and tested for three-day survival. 72-hour emergency kits from SurvivalSolutions.com provide 114 essential items, including food, water, light, shelter and warmth, cooking, first aid, sanitation, and communication. Just add your personal items, clothing, and important papers, and you're ready for any emergency. That's 114 essential life-sustaining items. Order now and get a free Millennium Food Bar with each 72-hour kit purchase. Call 801-965-0777 or go to SurvivalSolutions.com. That's 801-965-0777 or SurvivalSolutions.com, home of the complete 72-hour emergency kit.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Of We Can Count. You know, it's always about the numbers, and every story has some sort of a number, I think, to it. We got a bunch of them for you, not all of them great, including this group of 13 Salvadoran immigrants that were missing in Southern California. There was fears that they planned one of those crazy cult-like mass suicides, and it was looking that way because they were MIA, and it was believed that that was the intent. So they were scouring L.A., or what they call the Palmdale area of northern Los Angeles County anyway. Helicopters, horses, everything. And the group, sadly, included 8 kids, and they were only, some of them, the youngest, I think, was 3 years old, and all the way up to, like, 17. Finally, after hours of this extensive search, they spotted a car and called down to the ground. It was the helicopter that spotted it, found the people, and the group said they were perfectly okay, and they were upset and angry to learn that the search was even going on, saying that they were just praying all night in the park, and they had done it routinely, and it was women, and that their husbands were very much aware of the practice, that that's what they did. Here's what happened. One of the husbands calls the sheriff's department. Guess what he says? His wife is part of a cult-like group, and they're being brainwashed. And that the wife left behind a purse and said, please pray over it. And when the husband opened the purse, he found money, mobile phones, and notes that talked about meeting Jesus, talked about deceased relatives soon to meet up. So it scared the bejesus out of him, so to speak. And he called the sheriff's department, and after he had called some of the other husbands, and apparently what the deal is the group broke away from a Christian church in L.A. and formed a separate group that included traditional and non-traditional practices, is what they're saying, and that's all it was about, that there was nothing else, that it was their interpretation. So the husbands in the end apologized, or the one did anyway, to the sheriff's department and said, I guess it's better to overreact than to underreact. Ugh. With everything that goes on in L.A. and all the manpower that was used there, they had to be, I think, a little upset that they were chasing around trying to find these people and thinking they were going to have another Kool-Aid situation. Luckily, it didn't turn out to be that. But how many other sidebar so-called religions are there that could send other people into a panic? This is a real sad story to report, and it has to do with Mexico. And you wonder why we're all so worried about what's going on in Juarez and around the border. And part of the reason why is because look at what's happening in Mexico City. Cops are turning up dead all over the place. 8 of 9 officers from Guerrero State disappeared after an attack. Well, they were found dead. There wasn't anything crazy going on. Then they were flat out slaughtered. They found a 9th cop who was injured but somehow survived the attack, which was good because he could give details as to what happened. The officers were simply investigating a death on Friday. And all of a sudden, they were intercepted by some armed attackers who just literally gunned them down. 6 of the cops were found dead in a pickup truck on the highway, their bodies mutilated. I mean, cut to smithereens. 2 others were found dead in a neighboring state of Mexico. Same condition, horrific a way that they were left, which goes to what I'm saying, how horrible, you know, the things are that are happening in Mexico with corruption and cops, and then the ones that aren't corrupt, how they're fearing for their life and their family's life and the kidnappings, and this just goes to that same point. Moving on, and we can count another sad story to report to you. 1 head football coach at a Texas high school and 1 dead all-star quarterback. It's devastating, I'm sure, to any family to hear those words, but I think very hard to talk about. There's a kid, and I had even heard this kid's name. His name was Reginald Garrett, and he was part of a football team, a Texas high school football team, in around the Beaumont area. And the kid was just an incredible athlete. He was a senior at West Orange Stark High, to be specific. And he wasn't just a football player, kid. He was a straight-A student. So the players were stunned. He collapsed after throwing his 2nd touchdown of the night, but didn't survive. He was, you know, rushed to the hospital, and he had a history of seizures. The coaches knew about that, but he had a seizure on Friday night. He didn't show very many signs of having seizures. So fans just poured into the hospital lobby and waiting room. They said there was probably 100-plus people there. They were praying and waiting to hear word, and then learned that they couldn't revive him. They did everything they could, but they just could not revive this poor, poor kid. So now they're talking about whether or not they're going to play in their next week's game, and they're saying it's likely, as and honoring him, that they won't play. But what an awful thing. And this has nothing, I think, to do with football. It's just that he had a history of it, and unfortunately it came at that moment. But tough to grapple with that when you think he was the straight-A kid, which the people in the town just loved this kid, and he had overcome some of these health issues, and then that happens after throwing a touchdown pass. All right, let's move on to something a little bit lighter, sort of, in a way. Pepsi is going to pay consumers $5 million for Super Bowl ads. That's right. I think here in America Tonight we need to come up with one. This is what they're willing to do. They're willing to hold this contest and see if anybody out there in the public can come up with a much more clever ad, let's say, than they would pay, and they would pay more, to an ad agency. So you have a shot, crack, at the $5 million if you can come up with something clever. For the first time, Pepsi's Dorito brands, a part of that Frito-Lay arm of theirs, partners up with Pepsi for the contest, and it's being launched, I believe, this week, and it's part of the, you know, it's part of the, we want our consumer to go bigger, to double their chances to win, and they're trying to come up with something. I guess that what prompted it was what happened with Betty White, like an idea clicked on that, hey, she's in this Super Bowl ad, and then she is part of this random campaign of the Facebook people, and all of a sudden her Super Bowl ad becomes incredibly popular, and her career gets, like, revitalized. Not that she wasn't doing fine, but, you know, how old is she? She's on Saturday Night Live. She's making all these appearances. It was a big hit. That's the bottom line. So what they're doing is you've got a 30-second commercial you'd have to come up with for Dorito chips or Pepsi Max or both of them or whatever from September 27th to November 15th. If you make it to the top 10 finalist shortlists, you get $25,000. 1 million gets paid for an ad that scores number one on the USA Today ad meter, 600,000 for an ad that scores number two on the ad meter, and 400,000 awarded for an ad that scores number three. Ooh. Matt, start thinking of an ad as fast as possible, okay?
We'll get the R&D team on it. All the creative
All those guys you hang out with, all that time you're burning up somewhere in some of those dark bars in Minneapolis, I think you guys start working it. Have them come up with something.
We usually come up with great ideas. We just got to write them down, I think.
Write them down on a napkin.
Or have something. It recorded.
Right. Bring a recorder with you. 30 seconds is all you need. And if it just happens to click in with the people who are voting, you get $25,000. I mean, if it goes from there, it's bigger, but $25,000 is still wouldn't be a bad chunk of change. It's a prize, so of course Uncle Sam would get a little chunk of it, but you'd walk away with some of it anyway. And if you went further and your ad really registered, you would end up with possibly, you know, more than $500,000 or even $1 million. I think that's pretty cool. I knew I'd find something to make a smile about here on We Can Count, because everything was so, so heavy, wasn't it? Oh, that's how We Can Count is. Sometimes it's serious business, and sometimes it's a little lighter. And that was the best light thing, let's put it this way, that I could come up with. All right, coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight, we have not done it yet, so we are going to check the mail. Now, I'm always beating you up. Send me your thoughts. Tell me what you're thinking. Who do you want to see as a guest? Whatever. Send it to AmericaTonight.net. And a lot of you have been responding. You've been talking about all kinds of things, from the Tea Party to Nail the Score was another big one, to the weather. The weather is always the common denominator. And telling me your weather stories. We're going to start to post some of those on the website. So if you've got, you're ever in some catastrophic, crazy situation, but you're okay, I don't want you to risk anything. When the guy across the street, you know, the tree fell down on his car and it's going to make the all-time record for what a crazy photo this is, take it, send it to us, and we'll post it. Not to make your neighbor feel bad or anything.
Can you live with minor aches and pains? Maybe. But oftentimes, those won't-go-away pains become so debilitating that we are not able to do things we used to, like go for a walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now, restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now, 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer large 250-capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at HerbalHealer.com.
But not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Down the street with the green pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway to pull this race. To the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone.
Another one did bite it. Week 2 in the NFL. If you played nail the score, nobody won. Indy beat the Giants 38-14. Some people guessed the Colts, but nobody directly nailed the score. Here's the good news. We have a long season in the playoffs. So our next week, week 3 in the NFL, Thursday into Friday, third hour, be there, even with one eye open. Just take a stab at it. Who you think the team is that's going to win and what the final score will be. We don't announce the team ahead of time. It's randomly chosen by our America Tonight computers in the mothership in Minneapolis, so we have no idea who it's going to be, but that happens, you know, what teams. So that happens on Thursday. Also this week, the show is going to be on the road for a couple of days in Tampa, Florida. Why? Because the Egg Safety Board is putting on a one-day conference about what's going on in the egg industry as far as safety is concerned, and going on a tour of how the eggs are processed at this particular farm in Tampa, Florida. So it should be interesting. I have to wear one of those hazard suits on the farm. They've already told me that. But we'll be broadcasting all of that for you later in the week, plus We have Nail the Score and Harry Rinker for What You Got, a quick little segment. So if you have something you're hanging on to and you're thinking about selling it and you're curious as to what you might fetch for it, it's always a lot of fun to kind of have an idea going in. He is the guru of all that stuff. He's such a collector that he's got a schoolhouse in Pennsylvania with 50,000 items stuffed into it, like countless amounts of jigsaw puzzles and you name it. He's got it, toys, whatever. So he pretty much across the board is an expert on all of that, and his whole life has been about it. He's published a ton of books, and he joins us on Wednesday night in our second hour and in our second segment. If you have something you're hanging on to that you're thinking about, you're curious about what it might be worth, whatever it is, call us and you'll get a chance to talk to Harry, and he'll take a really good stab at it. Without further ado, let's head to the mail. And boy, do we have a lot of mail. An overwhelming amount of mail, as always. I won't be able to get
it. Our guy is taking a nap. I had to wake him up.
You have mail,
that's
mistress.
Right, our mail announcer. So that's okay. Everybody
you
has to
mail,
take it.
Mistress.
There he is. Can we do that again?
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, sweet. He just knows I love it when he calls me mistress. Mistress. Just a hint for all you guys out there. I don't care if a woman is 21 years old or if she's, I don't know, 65 years old. She doesn't want to be called ma'am. Oh, that's the worst. I know that it's polite for a lot of people to say ma'am. They start calling you ma'am. You start to feel old, even if you're in your 20s. Just throw the ma'am out of the vocabulary. Mistress is good. I don't know. That might not work for some women, though. They might be offended by it. So let's head to the mail, shall we? This one is from Vince in Vermont. Hey, Kate, digging the show. I started listening just a couple of weeks ago, and it's funny, you use the term zig and zag. I've heard you say it a few times, and truly that's what you do, but I like that because I started to realize in listening to some of my other talk show favorites, while often they had interesting points of view and sometimes good guests, I didn't like the fact that we kind of took a lane and stayed on that lane the whole time. I get road weary, so thanks for that. Got to ask you a question. What is going on with the Dallas Cowboys? Even though I'm here in Vermont and most of the people around me root for the New York teams, I have to confess I am Dallas through and through. I'm a little bit panicked. What do you think? You know, it is only week two in the books, but to be 0-2 and for the teams that the Cowboys played, Matt said that earlier, he's right, the Redskins and the Bears, I mean, look, the Bears look like they're improved, but it's still the Bears with some weaknesses that were definitely exposed. Plus, you got to think about this. If we just took the Bears game, Jay Cutler, the quarterback, boy, DeMarcus Ware was able to really get to him. The Cowboys, when they had the opportunities, just didn't capitalize on the opportunities. Then they've got this kicker, Beeler, who misses now. He's like 1-for-3 in situations where a little bit beyond chip shots that he should have made. That's not good. They're gonna re-rack that somehow, I'm sure. But that's not all that ails the Cowboys, just a foot or two. They shouldn't have to constantly rely on the field goal. I would be worried, my friend, because they're taking on the Texans next. If they go 0-3 in the tank, then they have their bye week. How do they come out of the bye week? Granted, there are teams that are 10-6 that end up going to the playoffs, but I don't think the Cowboys are going to go to the playoffs if they're 10-6, even as a wild card in the NFC. I could be wrong on the number of wins and losses, but I think it's tough for the Cowboys, unless they use this to rally the troops, because they, on paper, they have the right kind of people, but boy, that was a bad loss at home. And you could tell that their quarterback, Tony Romo, was very, very upset at some of the things that happened. He drilled in a few balls that bounced off the hands of a couple of receivers that ended up being very costly for Dallas. All right, on to the next one. This is from Pete Jackson. He says, hello, gang. I'm just curious about this whole Tea Party thing. I got to tell you, I do think they're fruits and nuts, to steal one of your phrases, Kate. Do you really think these people have a brain cell between them? Not to be harsh, but come on, Christine O'Donnell, she's going to represent Delaware. Are you kidding me? If I lived in Delaware, I would rally everybody and their brother to go and vote against her. She's a moron with a capital M. Am I being too harsh? You are being very harsh. She's a regular person. I mean, that's the thing. That's what I said before. You either want the career politician who knows how to weave and dance the phrases correctly, because they've had all the years of practice and the things that they shouldn't say or the plain speak that's gotten them in trouble in the past is all gone pretty much from their vocabulary. Because that's the idea. You don't want to get caught not knowing, not saying the right things, not understanding whatever the issue is. I would be worried if, I don't know. Here's the thing. We don't know what exactly the Tea Party is. But I don't care. I don't think it's about that. I think it's about you have to make the decision. Do you want a plain spoken person who's not politically, doesn't have the political prowess of the pros who have done it for their whole life? Or do you want the pros, somebody who can maneuver the waters a little bit better? There is a fringe element to the Tea Party. Hey, there's no doubt about it. But they're trying to get rid of that. They're trying to say, listen, okay, yes, the kookaburras, they get the time on the air, but it's not all kooks and nuts, and it's not crazy and, you know, hocus-pocusy. It's just, we like our taxes, we're tired of the situation, we're tired of the deficit, and here we are, just plain people, we're propping so-and-so is got us a little bit of a following behind them, so they've decided to run. Once, if those people are elected, that's where the true test will come in, because politics is definitely not for the thin skin, shall we say. And if somebody's a newbie, it's like if I became a politician and I don't have a law background, I have some people in my family that are lawyers, my brother's a lawyer, whatever, but the weaving and dancing around the courtroom and whatever is not where my skill area lies. But how would that play out? How would that play out if I was there on the Hill? And how would that play out with voting and getting people to listen to what you're saying? Because you do have to make allies, because you have to garner votes. If you have a piece of legislation, somebody has to back you, has to listen to you, has to say yes to it. If you don't have any friends on the Hill, really anything that you propose is a moot point anyway. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. If you have some thoughts on the show or anything that we've talked about, send them to me at americatonight.net. I'm going to leave you with this quote from Shakespeare, who said, "Action is eloquence." I agree.